is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
All right, here we go, and welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope everybody is doing all right today. Today is Wednesday, July 15th. The time is just a couple minutes past 10 a.m. Oh my goodness, and it looks like my computer is on 1%, and it looks like there it goes, 0%. So, that is something I maybe should have had figured out couple minutes ago. But hey, my computer might be on 0%, but we are not. We're here. We're ready. We are ready to start out a great show today. When I say that we are here, I mean the tag team. Chance, myself, Brandon still out right now. Logan, he'll be back on Monday. So it's just us. Chance, how you doing?
Not so good today.
Oh, all right.
Well, not feeling good, feeling great.
Not feeling good, feeling great. None of that.
No.
Is this a continuation from yesterday's?
No, yesterday we made up for that. We're good to go.
Okay, good.
We're good to go on that.
All right, good.
But it's kind of got a little bit to do with in the same genre, so.
Okay.
You'd say I'm a pretty nice guy, right, Rick?
Huh?
I'm a pretty nice guy, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I don't really have a lot to.
That's a very fair way.
Really have a lot of mean things to say about people.
No.
Generally, you know, right in the middle.
Very, I might give some people I think you're definitely a glass half full guy.
Yeah. Might be more of a moderate.
In all aspects. Yeah, okay.
So I don't normally like to come on and just trash people about experiences. I don't really like to put names with it. But today was not a good morning.
All right, let's today, do what we got to do then.
Today, daughter's girlfriend had to go to a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And should have went to Dr. Smith, Dental of Oliver Springs, is where we should have went. But fortunately, had to go to Knox Pediatric.
Okay.
And it was a bad experience for her.
Not good for
her. You remember the first time you went to the dentist?
I remember a lot of times I've been to the dentist.
But like the first time. First time you had something major done.
Absolutely.
A little scared, right?
Yes.
Also, probably in a time right now with coronavirus and a pandemic, things are a little tricky. And, you know, kids are scared. Parents are scared. So this morning, went to the dentist and put his name out there. Sorry, bad experience. Dr. Townsend over at this local establishment that I just got done talking about, Knox Pediatric. Kid was a little scared, first feeling. Asked to take the mask off, takes it off, and then she starts to cry. And he throws his hands up and says, "I'm not doing it. She's not ready." Talk about no patience with a child under the age of 10. Like I said, I don't really like to come on here and bash people, but that's one of those things. Kind of pissed me off this morning. Coming in hot. Coming in saucy. You know, it's the youth of tomorrow, Rick, that we have to cater to. And it just was a really bad experience for a child that had never had a major surgery done, and he just was awful. I'll say it. He's awful. And I would say that to, if it was my friend or something, I got a friend who's a dentist that they had treated. So that's why, you know, that's why we're pro Dental Arts of Oliver Springs. But I just had a bad experience at a place today, and I just had to come on and talk about it. Had to get off my chest.
Man.
Had to vent.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. That's never
very
fun.
Sad.
I am certainly one of those people as well who,
very
know,
sad.
I really.
Dr. Townsend.
I get very nervous when I step in any kind of doctor's office or dentist's office, and especially when
grown ass man.
Like, yeah, like and especially when I was a kid, where some of those fears stemmed from. So
yeah.
I totally get
you know
that
we all have the fear growing up too, like scared of the dentist. So like a dentist, when you go there, kind of like our friends at the Dental Arts of Oliver Springs, they make you feel welcome. They make you feel at ease.
Uh huh.
They get rid of the stigma of the dental office being a scary place in the drills and everything else.
Yeah, man, because you see those, scalpels?
You do.
Those scalpels are scary.
You do.
And they start prying in your mouth, and you're like, hey, that's a, you know, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
So don't go see those guys at Dr. Townsend here in Knoxville. Go see our friends at Dental Arts of Oliver Springs.
Of
Dr. Smith.
Of course. Well, hey, I am.
I said, sorry to come off the top rope, but crappy service is crappy service.
Yeah,
and you
absolutely.
You treat the kids wrong, that's where you get me. Chance love the kids.
Hey, I'm with you there.
Something I had to come in and vent to my friend, too, and all of our hundreds and thousands of listeners that will listen to this.
The millions and millions.
Hey, I'm a nice guy. I am. But until you start messing with the kids, until you start making them cry, making them upset, then I get a little angry.
Uh-huh.
Then I get a little...
Hey, you're watching out.
You know?
You're in gatekeeper mode.
Right?
Protector mode.
Protector mode, like
absolutely.
You say, like the bear.
Absolutely.
Like the big bear. So, you know, I had to come off, vent off a little bit. I never really do that unless I just have really horrible experiences, places. And I'd say that experience at that office was horrible today. And I would urge people to visit our friends at Dental Arts of Oliver Springs and never to go to Dr. Townsend. Yeah, that was his name. So, you know, sorry to come off the top rope, but the thing needed to be done. Now I feel better.
Hey,
now I feel a lot better.
I was going to say.
Now I feel a lot better.
I mean, you've had a
off my chest.
You've been all over the place.
A little bit.
But now.
A little bit.
You get to come in here.
I get to.
I got a bunch of great stories.
Yes.
We can sit back. We can.
We can laugh.
That's the thing, too. It's just you and I in here today. It's just you and I, so we can sit back. We can, you know, no expectations, no nothing going on. We're going to talk a little bit. We'll talk a little NBA, talk a little basketball, talk about life in the bubble, talk about life outside of the bubble, apparently for a couple players. The reasons that you may go live life outside the bubble. Two big reasons. Which kind of person are you? Why do you leave the bubble? We know, we'll give you those reasons here coming up soon. What else? We'll talk a little bit about Tennessee football. Hey, big news coming out of Tennessee football, and it was the news that we were surprised we hadn't heard yet, but we got it now. We got it now.
We sure did.
Tennessee officially reports their first COVID positive test. We'll give you all the information on that. I'm looking at a couple things here. Just alone coming from ESPN. Yasiel Puig agrees to a deal with the Braves. The Browns and Myles Garrett look to be finalizing a deal north of $100 million. Tommy Tuberville, Chance, wins the Alabama GOP Senate runoff.
Former Auburn coach and Texas Tech coach, Tommy Tubbs.
There's so much stuff to get to today, even though, hey, might not be all the biggest stuff, but nonetheless, it's stuff that we can get into and kind of toss around for a while. But before we get into any of that, what do you say we go over to these phone lines?
Let's
right
do it.
Get a call from Phil. Hey, we haven't heard from you in a couple days, so move you right up to the beginning of the show, man. Good morning. Welcome in. How you doing?
Does fabulous Rick Butler have a bubble?
A double? He might.
A bubble.
A bubble. A bubble.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
What about the bubble?
You got a bubble yourself.
You got a bubble? A bubble?
Well, what do you mean a bubble?
Like the NBA. You got your own little bubble you don't step across?
I don't know. I feel like I guess yeah. Like I haven't gone to many places besides work and home.
Is Brandon and Cody and Bear Bryant in that bubble too?
Brandon and Cody most certainly are. Bear is in his own bubble. I don't know if he's let anybody in his bubble since what, February?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very protective of his bubble, which makes sense.
Well, I see the senior on the 3 o'clock show taking some more time off. Which one of you is? Well, you're all proteges, ain't you?
You could say that.
Yeah,
I like.
Did you say Brandon takes off more time than any of you?
Well, I was going to say I don't really know if we have any, if we have a lot of room to talk on the station.
I think we rotate
about other people
we
taking
rotate
days off.
Russell takes a lot of time off.
We've certainly had a little bit of a game of musical chairs over the past couple weeks with the three of us. But, hey, that's just because there's a lot of things going on.
It's summertime.
I was hearing a little bit of the preceding show, and I couldn't call in. I was glad to hear Billy Williford back on the air.
Yeah, that was good to see. He was back in town today.
Billy Stats was in the house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I did hear, did I hear Davey say that it's okay for Coach Ratboy to cheat, and if Tennessee's getting any five stars, they got to be doing that too? Is that the synopsis of what he said?
I didn't hear it, but I could see Davey saying that. He sticks up for his Blue Devils. Uh-huh. I can see that. Kind of everybody else is doing it, but I'm pretty sure. I don't know if Rick Barnes is doing it, but we definitely know Coach K, Zion Williamson's been busted. Other people.
Have you ever kind of thought about
that question?
And
Coach K just
jumped
into that one and done. What, in the last like 10 years, he really started going after more one and done players. I mean, he was always getting talent, but he really started getting in there with like the Calipari.
Yeah, but he really hadn't helped him that much, has it? I mean, really?
Hadn't really helped Calipari either. That's the thing. Like, as much as we look at it, I don't know if one and done's always necessarily win the championships. It's your experienced players, the ones your upperclassmen that kind of push you.
Now, even though Calipari's a cheater, I kind of like Calipari. I mean, he seems like he's a guy I'd like to hang out with and drink a beer. I wouldn't want to drink a beer with Rat Boy.
That's funny because that's exactly what Brandon says, and we give him so much crap for that.
He does like Cal,
but he kind of says the exact same thing. He's like, "Hey, I know it's Kentucky, and of course I hate Kentucky, you know, but Cal kind of seems like an okay guy, like when it comes down to it."
So the tea leaves are saying that Kenny Chandler is probably going to come here. That's what's going on right now, right?
That's what the rumors are. We'll be talking to Dan Harrelson tomorrow, so we'll get some more insight from Dan
for sure.
That.
Well, good.
Yeah, that would be big. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about the connections with Amari Thomas and with the Briarcrest School in Memphis. So hey, hopefully that's just a big fish that Tennessee can land. I think you want to continue the trend of getting five stars, but hey, it's a guy in state that you can lock down. It's obviously an important school for Tennessee athletics. That'd be big.
So coronavirus finally hit the football program.
Yep. It did after the 4th of July weekend testing. The boys went out and partied. They came back with the Rona.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of these commentators on this station going around saying Florida has no talent and Tennessee has a chance of beating. Tennessee has actually got a chance to beat Florida this year. Do you really believe that?
All right. So I think I do want to separate those, right? The first one, that Florida has no talent, things of that nature. Don't really know. I think I'd really have to hear out the argument in detail before I could agree with that. I don't think that I'm going to say that. I think that they're a very good team. Now, could Tennessee beat them? Look, I don't know what's going to happen this season. Now, do I think that Tennessee is going to beat Florida? No, but do I think with everything going on, maybe they have a chance? Yeah. I mean, I think you have a puncher's chance in almost every one of these games. Now, some are obviously more likely than others, but I mean, I don't really think, besides Alabama, maybe there's an upset that I wouldn't say, hey, you know, with the right conditions, I do think that could happen. And even Alabama, I mean, what about last year? Like, you were decently close. I know it ended up being in the long run. The score told a little bit of a different story, but for a little while there, like, you were in that game for a while.
you're just like part of the fake media there.
I know.
Fabulous.
I know.
You got Gitmo.
What can
There's
I say?
No damn way.
What can I say?
Tell him,
He's
Phil.
Horrible. See you guys.
Adios. Hey, have a great day. Have a wonderful day. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Is there no way we beat Florida?
I don't think there is. I mean, we'll see after the first couple games. Now, as much as I clown the guy, I mean, he is in his fifth year. You expect him to have matured and gained some knowledge, but you expected that last season too.
Yeah.
And he is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, like,
I'll circle back to that.
Tennessee should be able to compete in all of these games. Maybe not the whole fourth quarter, or maybe not all four quarters or whatever, but hey, I think that Tennessee will be competing, or should be competing in every single game this season. All right, taking a look at Tennessee football, taking a look inside the NBA bubble, and much more coming up next here on The Blitz. man, skip the 15-day DL, skip the 30-day DL. Send me straight to the IR.
You hurting over there?
Straight to the injury reserve list. Yes, I don't know what. Just walking back into this room, I cut my back open on this door hinge, and it hurts.
Well, if we need to find you a doctor, we will. We'll call Dr. Barry. We'll call somebody else. But if we need to find you a dentist, I'm not calling hey, Dr. Bo Townsend.
If I trip and fall in,
we will not
all my
be
teeth.
Calling Dr. Bo Townsend if
will,
you need a dentist.
I will heed some advice and listen to the commercials. Hey, that's always a good thing. I mean, we don't put them in the podcast, but when you're listening to the radio, you listen to the commercials. You get some useful information.
We'll take care of you.
By the way, before we start with what Phil was talking about there with the positive COVID test at Tennessee, we don't really talk about local stuff too much. But I figured, hey, today's a fairly, you know, today's a little bit more of a brief news day. Did you happen to see and this is totally unsports related. Did you happen to see the story that about what happened in Knoxville on 40 and James White Parkway last night?
I know there was a shooting.
Yes.
But that's all I kind of know about.
There was a big shooting, a big car chase and everything. So this coming from Knox News. I'm just going to read it directly because I feel like it's a important news story. It says here, a car chase and the ensuing shootout with law enforcement left one suspect dead and shut down sections of a busy downtown area interstate Tuesday night. Cody was saying that they basically shut down all of that section of 40.
No.
So they're directing everybody off of 40.
Yeah, off the exit.
Onto 275 or whatever is right there.
Yeah, 275 split.
So it says here, just after 7 p.m., a Tennessee Highway Patrol trooper spotted a Chevy Tahoe driving alongside Interstate 75 that was reportedly occupied by a man wanted on murder charges out of
Florida.
Imagine Nailed
that.
It.
Imagine that.
So we have a fugitive on the loose. Well, I don't know. Does fugitive work? Or is fugitive only somebody who has already been arrested?
Go Gator.
No, I believe that you still are a fugitive.
What is the dictionary term of a, like what classifies? Anyways, that's a tangent.
Fugitive, a person, no, okay, you are right. A fugitive, a person who has escaped from a place or is in hiding, especially to avoid arrest or persecution.
Okay, so he's definitely a fugitive.
Escaped from a place,
he's definitely in hiding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or quick to disappear and fleeting. So yeah, he's definitely a fugitive.
And he was definitely trying to flee.
He was definitely fleeting.
From the police officers last night. So it says here, the trooper attempted to pull the car over as it traveled over to I-40, but the vehicle refused to stop, leading troopers on a pursuit. Knox County Sheriff's deputies joined in pursuit as officers attempted to force the vehicle to stop near exit 388. Which exit is that? I might look here on my maps real quick. Just because I think it's always interesting when you hear these big stories like this, because you really can put such a distinct visual to where it happened. I mean, that might honestly be James White.
And this man apparently was also, it was a deadly 4th of July shooting he was involved with.
Oh, my God. So he's been on the loose for what, 11 days, roughly?
I guess so.
Wow. Hmm. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you just don't hear about. Like, you see on, like, you see these crazy stories, or, like, you even see, like, YouTube videos of it, like a big car chase or a shootout or a wanted fugitive traveling cross state. And yesterday it happened in our backyard. And, you know, unfortunately.
You ever seen a car chase?
Live?
Yeah.
No.
I've seen one live on the interstate. It was pretty interesting. Pretty scary, too. Like, you see all the cars coming back. Past and like everybody's just flying.
I feel like I've heard a lot of times where you can tell that there's something going on, but I've never actually seen one.
You ever been in a car chase?
Nah, I can't say that I have.
Me neither. I know the bear has. I remember a story. He was
chase. I'm gonna call into the drive later, just unexpectedly.
I think you might have stole like a Corvette or something.
Like, hey man. Like to hear the story.
Some civil unrest.
We were talking about it earlier today. We were kind of speculating about what it might have been. Can you clear up the story real quick?
It was joyriding, I think, something like that.
So anyways, I just thought that that was interesting. Just wanted to see if you had heard about that story so far.
No, I'd heard about it, but I didn't know the details. Like, I know I saw where someone the story that I'd read last night said police were had police shooting incident or something like that. It's like police Tennessee Highway Patrol was involved in a shooting.
Yeah.
And it said that they shut down 40, and I saw the pictures of 40 shut down. But that was all. That was the only news that I knew about it.
It's crazy when a highway gets shut down, man. You know that something is really going on.
It's going down.
When an entire highway gets shut down. But anyways, so that is a little bit of that local news. Just wanted to bring it to the table real quick. Only got a couple more minutes here left in this segment before we got to take this break. But we will, since we've already kind of started this conversation, we'll go ahead and continue it even a little bit more. But as we mentioned with Phil, over the it looks like Tennessee has officially announced. Where did my story go? It has officially announced multiple positive tests for COVID-19 in Tennessee athletics.
Oh no!
Oh no, indeed. Now, I mean, if you remember correctly, like Tennessee's certainly one of the surprises. I think we've talked about the last couple weeks. You know, hey. Very surprised that Tennessee had not reported any kind of positive testing until then. And, you know, I don't think that we necessarily thought it was because of lack of testing or anything like that. We just thought that, hey, they're doing a good job. You see, we even talked to Dan Harrelson about this, you know, and he mentioned exactly what we've all seen on Twitter. You've seen the videos of the workout staff and wiping down all the equipment bars and everything like that. And you can tell that Tennessee's just been doing a very, very good job in-house. But looks like, unfortunately, you know, this makes sense, but, you know, when you let the kids go home go wherever for 4th of July weekend, they come back, they get tested again, and it looks like we do have a couple of positive tests. We don't know how many. They didn't come out and specify an exact number.
Well, this is what fans wanted, right?
Yeah, I thought about that too.
And I'm speaking facetiously, like, fans didn't want people to get sick, right. But they wanted them to go ahead and get it over with. So, I mean, like, this is what it is. There you go. You got it. Which I think is, and I'm going to say it, it's going to piss me off. It's kind of stupid. Talking to Brandon, talking to some other people. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying the idea and the premise is, because the more people that test positive, the much more tougher it's going to be and a challenge to constitute having a football season. Like, as much as we'd probably like to think that the more students get it now, it'll be done with. They're not operating on a bubble status like the NBA, like where they're like, hey, okay, we're going to quarantine you. We're going to set the season to start right here. They still don't know when the football season is going to start. Like you said the other day, there's no, I guess, like.
Right, we have a date, but it's not like that's like how the NBA came back out and said,
there's still, you know, no we're plan, definitely though. Gonna start we just game. Have a date because that's how schedules work, and we all know when the first game of the season
Oklahoma's
is.
Oklahoma's trying to move their game up.
Yeah. But, like, we still don't know. And I would say that more positive tests are going to be more impactful of maybe not having a college football season.
So
that's what it sounds like to me across the board. But right. Other people, they'll argue that, no, you get them out the way now, you have a much better chance. I think the more tests you see coming in, that's going to make administrators and athletic directors, well, maybe we do need to push football back to the spring.
So I do think that thought is interesting to think about because, and I know actually that Brandon has kind of flipped his mind a little bit because he's actually the one who kind of illustrated this point to me. So shout out to him. But you think about it, right? When were those first stories coming back when all the football players got back to their programs and you started to hear the very first stories about how you know, Clemson had an outbreak and Kansas State. Shut down or put on delay their return back to the facilities and all those kind of stories, right? We heard all those stories come out, and I think that's when the beginning and that's kind of when the ball started really rolling for this idea that, hey, you would rather have these players get it now as opposed to later, right? Because a lot of people think that, hey, you know what, most people are going to get this at some point, so What's the point of trying to keep the bubble wrap on? But you got to think about it like this too. That was 2 weeks ago. And if you had that idea 2 weeks ago, I think that's all right because, you know, that kind of puts you in a position where a lot of those guys who were testing positive at the beginning, right when they're all coming back, are going to be ending quarantine around this time. But, you know, that idea, that thought, that theory, that doesn't really work as the days go on. Because, look, for these guys that get that tested positive for Tennessee, you know, I don't know when this was. They announced it today, but, you know, let's just say it was towards the end of last week. Well, that's 14 days tacked on from last Thursday or last Friday or last Wednesday or whatever it was. And that's getting you significantly closer to when you need to be on the field preparing for the football season. So I think, hey, if you had that opinion, you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, I don't necessarily share that opinion as well, but I know a lot of people had that. So I think that, you know, there is some common thought behind it. But I do think that, you know, once you kind of start advancing and, you know, once the weeks start going by, that is much less likely and much less reasonable, I think, of a thought. Because at this point, no, you're kind of putting in, you know, the season in jeopardy, because you're getting to the point where you need to be on the field in the days leading up to the season.
You're going to get to a point.
You can't be quarantined right now when the season's right around the corner. It was easier if you were going to do it 2 weeks ago and then stopping now.
Basketball didn't start a certain time because they said guys had to have a certain amount of time to practice. We know football, you need even more time to practice, and new incoming freshmen, guys who redshirted last year, didn't play, need that real, you know, simulation from practice, like, you know, game speed.
Right.
So kind of what you're saying too, the further you get closer, and we're still seeing quarantining across the board, and players continue to test positive for this, no matter if it's going to be here or not, you're going to get to the point where you're going to get to a deadline where you're not going to have enough time for any type of fall camp. And then if the schools don't open back up, how does the fall camp work too?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
and that's for all teams, not just Tennessee, but how is it going to work with no universities opening back up? And that's what it looks like we're getting to. I mean, whether it's panic, hysteria, what, things are shutting down. Texas shut down. Atlanta shut down recently. Nashville just shut bars back down, returning to phase one yesterday.
Did they really?
Yes, they're back on phase one, and they're going to be bars are shut down till the end of July to monitor it. This is where we are. We're getting closer to a deadline. Greg Sankey may not. He alluded to it that he is worried. He did allude to that it doesn't look – it looks kind of grim, kind of paraphrasing for him. But we are at a point where you're going to get to a certain spot in the calendar year where you're not going to be able to have a successful 2020 fall college football season. It just – we're going to get there. Guys got to have a fall camp. They got to get back out there and practice.
Sure.
You got to have provisions in place. We don't even have a plan of action. Now, maybe they're working behind the scenes with plan of action for Neyland Stadium, for other stadiums, for the entire college football year if it does come back. But we haven't really heard anything. Like, not only worrying about when the season's going to start, next is, like you said yesterday, what's the course of action? The NBA had it all lined out. MLB had it all lined out. I haven't heard really much lined out about what's the proposal going to be if football is to be played.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what, you know, that's what we've been saying too, is that's where the idea of the unification comes in, right? You've heard a lot of these ideas because you've had a unifying source for MLB, for NFL, and I know that's a completely different ballgame because you're dealing with so many different things with, you know, the NCAA, but also that's why you have the NCAA, because it's supposed to be a unifying party for all these conferences. But obviously they're all kind of working separately from each other, and they're all kind of working behind each other's backs, it seems like, a little bit. So what are we going to do? I don't know. Hey, we're going to go to a commercial. We're going to do something else on the other side. I don't know about those guys, but we're going to do some fun stuff coming up next. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz. Rick and Chance hanging out with you right now on a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's about 10:39 a.m. Hey, how about this? Let me give you a nice little weather update for today. All right, right now 83 degrees. It looks like it's going to get up to about 94 today, so it's going to be hot. That's around 4 p.m., but man, doesn't look like there's going to be much in the sky. Sunny day today, sunny day tomorrow. and rain Friday, Saturday. So rain to begin the weekend.
Rain, rain, go away. Come again another day.
I saw that Nashville had some big storms over the weekend as well, speaking of that.
A lot of storms coming through lately.
Yeah, I feel we've been getting
some pretty good weather, though, too. And when we have been getting storms, it's been like for a couple hours stop. Sun comes back out. Very humid afterwards, but
yeah,
we're getting some pretty nice summer weather. Outside of it being coronavirus and a pandemic over this summer and going from spring to summer, we talked about during the pandemic, during the quarantine, rather, the pandemic is still occurring.
Yeah.
But during the quarantine, when we were in phase one, we had some really nice weather. I think that would have been more catastrophic if it had been raining every day or, like, cold the whole time people were stuck at home.
That's true. Can you imagine if everything had gotten basically bumped up
every day,
like 3 months, and you had this
cold
stuff starting in November,
and
December?
And you're just stuck in the house in the cold.
Oh, my God.
A little bit cozy sometimes because it's cold. You'd be in your warm house, but it just would have been miserable not to be able to go outside and actually do anything, because that was the thing they're telling you to do.
Yeah, that was the
go outside.
Your escape was going outside. That's all you had.
Go do some things in nature.
It's so weird how we are going to look back. Like, once this is over, God, if this is ever over, I mean, it feels like it already feels forever. But it's just going to be so crazy to look back on this in hindsight and just think of everything that happened. I mean, it's already crazy to think about the lockdown. Just that each and every one of us, every single day, did everything we needed to do from our home.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I don't know. That's just a crazy thing to think about to me, how all this stuff unfolds. But anyways, all right, hey, got a couple of headlines to throw at you real quick, just kind of bouncing some things around. We had talked about at the end of yesterday's show, I believe it was it Logan who had mentioned the James Harden story?
Yeah, and he actually does have it, the coronavirus.
Really?
He tested positive.
James Harden.
Got that tip from my girlfriend yesterday when we were done with the show. She said, you're talking about Harden, but he actually does have it.
Oh.
There was definitely a story I saw yesterday that he tested positive for it after we got off the show. Let me see if I can find it.
Yep. Here it is.
This comes from the Houston Press.
Okay, yeah, this is the exact one I'm looking at, too.
Yeah, well,
Russell. It looks weird because it looks like a lot of people are reporting on it, but
yeah,
you haven't necessarily had an ESPN, CBS, or, like, Fox with an article on it.
Yeah, it says that, Rocket superstars James Harden and Russell Westbrook have apparently been sidelined by COVID-19. On Monday, Westbrook posted online that he had tested positive and was feeling well. Later in the day, it was reported by elite media that Harden, too, was infected, though there has been no confirmation from the team or Harden. He hasn't confirmed it. But
okay,
like,
so that's
there's been multiple outlets that have said that he has tested positive.
Yeah.
Harden and Westbrook will miss a minimum of 2 weeks, 14 days, in quarantine, and will need to test negative twice, two negative tests, before they are allowed inside the bubble in Orlando.
Keep reading.
Just the 14 days alone would cause the players to miss the team's first game against Luka Doncic and them boys.
Oh, you say that Houston. No, Chance, they might miss their star players.
Luka and them boys.
Oh, no.
If they don't have James Harden, they won't beat the Mavericks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, additionally,
I mean, you can't really joke about that because it's COVID of all things. But on the other hand, you can joke about it because it's funny and it's good. Hey, they're missing their first game. I'd like my team to win that game, please.
Yeah,
please.
Additionally, on this past Monday, the NBA announced that only two players in Orlando, neither of whom had broken quarantine, tested positive. They left the campus and were quarantining. Since Westbrook and Harden had not yet reached Orlando, by that time, they don't fall into those numbers. But they do join a group of 19 other players who have tested positive prior to reaching Orlando. James Harden goes to a lot of strip clubs. A lot of strip clubs. That is like the joke. I don't know how much you're in on the NBA Twitter sphere, but like that is like the running meme all the time. He talks about it.
That's his thing.
He goes to strip clubs, spends hundreds of thousands of dollars, and like he is very well known in the Houston strip clubs and the Atlanta strip clubs and all the popular ones, Vegas, whatnot. And then he also used to have a thing that they speculated he was having sex parties years ago. So
Oh, years ago.
Years ago. Okay. Not this year, but there was speculation in a story that I saw yesterday that he did have a COVID party.
Wow. Was Westbrook there?
I'd say maybe not. He seems like, although he has the coronavirus, I don't see
Does
like...
Does he seem more like a...
Well, he's married and he has children.
Okay.
So I would feel that he's a little bit more responsible than the, okay, than the bachelor James Harden
makes
is.
Makes sense.
Harden's a bachelor,
yeah,
not
the
married.
Yeah, former MVP bachelor. I mean, that's pretty good when you can put on former MVP before, you know, before your name.
Exactly.
So James Harden has arrived in Orlando. Says here he arrived Tuesday morning. Looks like about 5 days after his team flew into Orlando, the Rockets have not disclosed a reason for Harden's delayed arrival. So, yeah, I think you can kind of take all the puzzle pieces here and start to see the picture, right? The reports started coming out that Harden and Westbrook had both tested positive. The story exploded on Westbrook because he came out and personally acknowledged it,
yeah,
personally confirmed it, but... You know, you look at all. You look at the other pieces here to the puzzle. Who is the only other guy not flying with the team, flying on a delayed plane by himself? It makes sense that the other rumor is true. The other report is true. Excuse me.
The beard.
James Harden has it as well.
The beard. He no fly. He have corona.
No fly zone.
Yeah, no flex zone. Kind of the same thing. But yeah, nah. I wonder how many other prominent stars we'll hear about. You know, the one person that I knew we weren't going to hear about, if everybody in the NBA had COVID, corona, coming back to this bubble, you know, the one person who was definitely not going to have it. He's just not going to have
it. You know, I have my answer if it was 10 years ago, but I don't for this year, so who you got?
LeBron James.
He ain't getting no COVID.
He ain't messed with nobody.
He probably had private doctors in the home, his own professional, you know, health staff. The entire time probably was getting COVID tests.
Work on like a repellent. Even he's got the Tony Starks of the world.
LeBron takes care of his body nanobites. So meticulously, and then the amount of money he spends on health and fitness, and just general wellness. He'd be the last person I would expect to get coronavirus. I think he would be so focused and aware to not put himself in those positions.
If you had asked me that question 10 years ago, my answer would have been Tim Duncan. But not for any of those reasons, just because I feel like
Tim Duncan just chills.
Tim Duncan just chills.
He ain't going out.
He ain't going out of the house.
Usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going.
All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz as we're wrapping up hour number one here, 10:50 a.m. And looking ahead, let's see what's coming up. At 11 o'clock, we got the back half, I guess, of the second round of the TV tournament. So make sure you're tuned in for that. We got voting open starting here in about 5 minutes. I think we'll be doing a sitcom and the reality family. Yeah. Sitcom, comedy, reality, family. So that's what you're voting on today. Again, that's coming up here in a couple minutes. Hey, just in terms of a story I didn't necessarily expect to see, and actually kind of goes along with what we were saying. You know, you and I were talking about you know, our Mayor Kane and a celebrity politician, if you will. You get the story coming out of Alabama yesterday. Looks like former college football coach Tommy Tuberville beat former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions in Tuesday's Alabama Republican Senate runoff. Who did he coach for? He coached for
Auburn for a very long time, and Texas Tech.
Okay. Which one was first? I'm assuming Tech.
Auburn.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I didn't know that.
And, I can't think if there was any other stops outside of those.
Let me see.
His most prominent was with Auburn, where he's 2-time SEC Coach of the Year. Also coached Cincinnati. That was his other stop after Texas Tech. Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Ole Miss for 3 years, 1995 to 1998. Mm-hmm. He was at Auburn for almost 10 years, from 1999 to 2008. Texas Tech for a couple years, and then the last 3 years, concluding in 2016, 2013 to 2016, with Cincinnati.
He was a 1-time SEC champion, 5-time SEC West.
Jason Campbell. I believe, was quarterback of that team.
2004, Auburn.
Yeah, man. He was a pretty solid coach. Devlin was a pretty solid coach. Yeah, they had a pretty sure that was a Jason Campbell team. Auburn went 13-0, including the SEC title, and went over Virginia Tech in the Sugar Bowl.
So there you go. So another that just kind of popped in my mind, because again, kind of talking about celebrity politicians, if you will, or at least kind of how they were getting there. All right, I'm looking kind of as we got a couple more minutes here. I got a couple stories, but I'm just looking through some of these Twitter trends, seeing if there's anything going on under our nose. By the way, 16 hours ago, Tennessee football tweeted out Trey Smith with another preseason All-American vote, this one coming from Phil Steele.
Nice.
Trey Smith been just getting constant love throughout this offseason.
Trey Smith going to get the bag after this year. Going to get the bag. Going to secure that bag. It's a long time coming, too, from somebody who's battled what he's battled and was always going to be a lock for a first-round draft pick, but now it seems like things are starting to get his due. Things are coming to fruition. Health is better. Everything's falling into place for Trey Smith.
I really hope that Trey Smith is one of those guys that we really bring back often and really look at well in his legacy. And I only say that because sometimes I think that the lineman position especially can be more forgettable. Right, when they go to the pros, we obviously still know where they come from and everything, but do they get as much kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Do they get as much of the spectacle response as some of the skill players when you have Dobbs or Kamara walk back? But I really hope that Trey Smith is a legacy piece of this school and this team for a long time coming up after next year, because I think, like you were alluding to, with everything he's been through, with everything he's done for this university, with coming back to play again in his senior year, help lead this team, just racking up all the All-Americans. How many? All of them. Not all of them. Close. But another one comes in for Trey Smith yesterday. So, again, that is from Phil Steele. Tennessee also announced that since the spring of 2018, Tennessee has produced 77 SEC Academic Honor Roll accolades in the Jeremy Pruitt era. Smart fellas over there. Big,
very
knowledgeable
smart guys.
Brains.
Very smart guys. You like breaking news?
Yes, I do.
You like Wally World?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you like Wally World?
Wally World?
Yeah. Walmart. Never heard being called reference to Wally World?
I have, but not too often. I got to be honest. It went over my head at first. Do I like it? I get stuff there, so sure.
All right, Walmart. Well, it's going to change for you. Walmart, the world's largest retailer.
Oh, I hope this is a story I'm thinking of.
Latest national chain to require all customers to enter wearing a mask. So, if you're if you're anti-mask or a mask doubter.
Well, that doesn't even change things here, right?
There's a mandate. Well, there is, but there hasn't been a real push.
But now Walmart employees are going to be checking.
There hasn't been a real push for people to enforce it, because you have a lot of people who tend to like to fight over the mask about wearing a mask, and it's my freedom. So Walmart has joined Best Buy, Starbucks, and also Costco, some of the big retailers in America, and is now requiring facial coverings or masks in all of their stores.
Also, hey, Walmart is select Walmarts across the country are going to start turning their parking lots into drive-in movie theaters starting at dusk to try to entertain the people a little bit. I think that's a great idea. Hey, where the hell are the movie theaters? Why weren't they doing that earlier? Don't know. Hey, greatest TV show ever tournament coming up next on hour number 2.